And to the migrant crisis now in Europe, most of the refugees are Syrians fleeing civil war. But according to the UN Refugee Agency, about 80,000 who arrived by boat in 2015 were Iraqi, and about 35,000 of them have reversed that migration and returned home, according to Caritas Europa. Let's take a look with Loveday Morris, Baghdad Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Loveday, why are they going back to Iraq?
Well, I think to answer why people are coming home, you have to look at all the reasons that people are going. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are fleeing ISIS, but also what we saw this summer was a lot of Iraqis leaving from safer areas of Iraq. People have lived through years and years of war, and a lot of them decided to try their luck on the migrant trail. And then when arriving in Europe, found a different situation than they expected, and are coming back for a variety of reasons. Some are confused over the asylum claim process. Some simply don't like it. Some are having their claims rejected. There's a range of reasons people are coming back.
So the asylum question, let's take that. It sounds like you're saying that some of them couldn't prove that they were fleeing violence or in some way had to leave. Maybe they didn't get asylum. But are you saying that even people who got asylum once they got there, let's say they were fleeing from an ISIS stronghold, they then decided to return back?
I didn't speak to anyone who had actually got asylum who came back, but talked to a lot of people who had been in the process of claiming asylum and had a lot of uncertainty over their claims. A lot of people had left their family in a camp in Iraq and were hoping that they'd be able to bring their families to join them. They were worried about doing the journey with their families. And if they're traveling from Iraq, it involves getting a plane to Turkey and then travel by boat to Europe. But then arriving in Europe, sort of people are realizing that the systems are so clogged with claims and the process is taking so long and they're uncertain as when they can bring their families to join them, and that might be years. And so a lot of people, that uncertainty was just too much.
Well, you also write about Iraqis who arrive in a Europe that's not the Europe they envisioned. It's not the shiny, you know, castle on a hill. One young man you profiled ended up living in a neighborhood that was just as impoverished as the one he lived in Iraq.
Right. Obviously, there's this dream of Europe. Before they leave, they think, you know, they'll be able to find a job and they'll have an apartment and a nice life. And on arrival, obviously, it's a tough situation, and you have a million migrants and refugees to Europe this year. And a lot of people mentioned racism as well. You know, there were some right-wing protests in Europe, and just general homesickness. You know, it's a completely different alien culture to them.
Well, it's hard to imagine an Iraqi in Sweden or Sweden in Iraqi. I mean, it happens, of course, and people migrate and immigrate and have for thousands of years. But if you're not comfortable there, well, it's easy to see how you might turn around and come back. But what are you seeing? What are they coming back to?
A lot of people I spoke to were probably more economic migrants who had just sort of jumped on this, seen this opportunity. And so they're going back to Baghdad, but they're going back to a more difficult situation than they left because, you know, they sold everything they had to try the chances in Europe. It's not cheap. You know, the smuggling routes, they cost thousands of dollars to get across. So I talked to a taxi driver who'd sold his taxi. So by the time he came back, his family had nothing. They had been living in a rented apartment, but they'd spent all their savings on getting him to Europe. But then other people who were fleeing from more dire situations, there was a Yazidi I spoke to. His family had been displaced from Sinjar and the onslaught there.
By ISIS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by ISIS. And so he'd gone back to a displacement camp. He'd left his family in the camp. He said he couldn't bear to be away from them. He was worried about trying to bring them to his children on that route to join him. So, yeah, and the situation for the displaced in Iraq is really tough, and winter's coming, and there's a lack of aid and lack of education for children. It's a really, really tough situation. I mean, he was saying that was the most difficult decision of his life, to deciding whether to come back or not. And he still doesn't know if he did the right thing, but he just didn't know how long the claim would take, and he was worried that he wouldn't see his family for years. And, tough decisions for people.
That's Loveday Morris, Baghdad bureau chief for the Washington Post, talking about the flow of Iraqis back into that country, disillusioned about what they found when they joined the migrant trail out. Loveday, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.